Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, how are you?
I'm not too bad. How are things with you?
Pretty good. It's crazy that it's already been a week. These weeks are flying by.
I feel like that's probably because you've totally lost your sense of like what day it is and what even time of day it is.
I've done my best to remember what day of the week it is because that's what I associate my recordings with. So it's that's how I roll.
I see.
It's Wednesday. So
yeah. Well, it is Wednesday and we are back with episode 206 of Gamers Inn. And I just realized that my mic was totally muted on the stream, but now we're unmuted, so now you guys can hear me.
We did it. We podcasted.
Oh, man. Yeah, totally. Just that phone call threw me right off. Okay, so this week we are actually going to talk about and spoil the crap out of Firewatch. So if you haven't actually been paying attention, if you haven't been playing the game, maybe you should probably turn off the show now. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, or interested in checking it out, or interested in Googling it, then you should probably just pause the show right now for a split second.
Yeah, give us, like, you know, 20 minutes? How long do we really need to talk about this?
It's up to you. I get the sense that you probably didn't enjoy it as much as I did, but...
Oh, and why would you say that?
Because when you say you Googled something, it usually means you struggled. And I don't... Hey, the game is not for everybody. And, you know, that's... anyways, yeah.
Yeah.
Stop talking.
Alert. Yeah, I really didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I probably was going to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. That's disappointing. I'm disappointed. Yeah. But, you know, like, games aren't for everybody. Like, all games aren't for everybody. And there are games that that everyone loves that I really dislike. So it's a matter of preference. But I'm looking forward to hearing why you didn't enjoy it.
Yeah. So, okay. First of all, I really liked the beginning of the game. Like, I thought it was really interesting, like, the setup of the story of basically like how he met his wife and then into, you know, just being out in the wilderness. And, you know, then there's the weird creepy guy with the flashlight and there's the girls down by the lake that go missing. And like all of that was like the setup to it was really, really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got really not interesting to me anyways.
Okay.
It just, I was going through and I was kind of, I got to the point where I get knocked out and then I found the fence and then I pretty much ran out of time. Plus, when Matt was playing through, he actually ended up hitting a glitch where he couldn't finish the game. So I was like, well, maybe I should just Google it because I'm not going to finish it in time for the show. And I'm also, you know, like, may hit this glitch and then not be able to do the last 20 minutes of the game anyway. So I ended up Googling what happens in the end, and it's, I don't know, really anticlimactic, I think.
Yeah, this is gonna be one of those episodes, folks. Strap in, because I could not disagree more. I love this game, and I think it's just a matter of perspective and looking at the game as a video game or looking at the game as an experience, right? We've had this conversation before. Same thing with Gone Home. If you look at it as a game...
Gone Home was one that I loved. Gone Home was intense and interesting. There was a whole lot of different levels of complexity of the story that was going on. Mm-hmm. And in the end, like right up until the very end, you weren't 100% sure what was going to happen and what you were going to find. Mm-hmm. And I felt the exact opposite in Firewatch. I was pretty sure that weird creepy dude was the one doing all the shitty stuff, like, you know, breaking, like, your Firewatch tower gets broken into, the girls basically get like chased off and their campsite's just like totally destroyed. And then, like, I don't know, it's just, it's really obvious who it is doing it. The only other person that you've been introduced to at all is, like, the Goodwin father and son group. Right. So it's like, well, it's either like, probably one of the two of them is dead. So it's either a little kid who's been, like, out in the wilderness and has gone a little bit nuts, or it's the dad who's been out in the wilderness and gone a little bit nuts. So...
I you know, it's taken 206 episodes, but guys, I finally realized I'm doing a show with Batman, the greatest detective. Because how did you sort all that out without just... Googling it, like, while playing the game. Like, you
don't know.
Now, did you come to that conclusion once you read the ending, or did you come to that conclusion halfway through the game?
No, when you come on the campsite and the tent's all torn up and there's clothes all over the ground, those don't look like normal, like, teenage girl clothes. Like, it looks really staged. And there's boot prints on, like, the khakis, and they're, like, man boot prints. So, like...
Oh, that's a good point.
So I was just kind of like, well, I know I didn't do it. And just because it's a video game, who else have I been introduced to? There's a chick who is in another fire tower. So it probably wasn't her, because chick. And then there's these mysterious, oh, yeah, they totally just packed up and left, even though I have no evidence of that whatsoever. These other two, these Goodwin people. So
yeah, the, like, son and father.
Yeah, and then duo. I kind of figured that there was only one left, because you only see one when you see the creepy person.
Well, who you don't know. You don't know who that is, but you're through process of elimination, it actually paid off, and it turned out it was the father. And no, I mean, I enjoyed the game. I put my Batman cowl down and stopped overthinking everything and just sat back and enjoyed the experience and just tried to put my shoes where Henry was, the main character that you play, and that you're trying to escape these bad memories and you're doing a terrible thing by running away from your problems, and that your wife, who has been taken away from you by her parents because she has dementia.
Yes.
And basically... rather than going to live with her in Australia, you take a job as a fire watch.
Which was another thing that I thought was a little bit, and I don't know, maybe it's because, like, I have personal experience with, like, family members who have memory, Alzheimer's, dementia type issues. But, like, that's literally the best place for her, is, like, in a long-term care facility with people who actually can care for her. She's at the point she doesn't recognize you anymore. Like, people don't get better from that. Like, once you get dementia and you get to that point where you don't recognize your family anymore, it's not even that, like, you know what family is at some point, you know? Like, it's like they say, like, oh, has the mental capacity of a 2-year-old or something. But it's just, like, even that I feel like isn't true. And again, this is, like, personal experience, because it's just, like, they lose the ability to even know, like, what a family is. Like, it's degenerative. The 2-year-old knows, like, who the mom is and that I love these people, and that you lose that with dementia. So I, like, right from the very start of the game, I'm just like, he hasn't done anything wrong. Like,
no, you're right.
I don't know, in that sense. I guess I couldn't identify with the guilt that I think they were trying to convey, like, oh, you did a bad thing and abandoned your wife. It's like, well, no, really, no. So, did you, like, when you were reading the origin story, did you get that kind of, like, how did that make you feel? Because I was just like, yep, he did everything right. Moving on.
Yeah, I'm distracted by Twitter drama. evidently, the person that you hung up on was not happy. But, anyways, so I thought when I was going through those initial sort of decisions, it's basically text pops up and then you're given an interstitial scene that you can experience, which is basically just walking, which is the entire game. But
that's the other thing. The entire game is just walking. And there was a couple of times, like, after, because at the beginning, I didn't even realize, like, when you see the creepy figure, I didn't even realize that's what it was, because it kind of happens at sunset. And I guess he's shining a flashlight at you. And I thought that the flashlight was just the sun. And then all of a sudden you get the thing that says, like, the radio thing pop up. And it says, you know, like, report the figure or something. And I was like, what figure? I didn't even see him.
I get the sense that this is one of those instances where it's like, this just didn't click. And I could totally understand that, because this game is... is probably very hit and miss. Like, Firewatch is one of those games where it's like, if you don't like it, oh man, are you gonna hate it? Because it's a $20 experience, it's 3 hours long, and we're gonna talk a bit more about that whole instance in mm-hmm. the topic. But like, I went in knowing exactly what it was, and I like these games. I like Gone Home. I liked Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. It's a walking simulator, for the lack of a better term. But the story's really got to click with you in a walking simulator, or else you're gonna walk away thinking you wasted your money. Mm-hmm. And I liked the story because when I put myself in Henry's shoes and sort of gave into that paranoia and that loneliness of being a Firewatch and being abandoned by your loved ones, because really the only loved ones he had were his in-laws and his wife, who is suffering from dementia. You can kind of see where this guy is, you know, not doing so well. And I don't know, I sort of latched onto that, and I tried to put myself in his shoes. Like, he was selfish, obviously, like in my playthrough, in that he would constantly try to like keep Julia with him, and I think he started to go out to drinking, similar to what Terpster's been doing tonight. And I don't know, did you get to that point? What was your options? Your options were to like basically like trust that she wouldn't wake up, or put a chair on her door. And I just got the sense that the developers were really trying to paint Henry as this character that was selfish and not very smart when it came to relationships and dementia and all that fun business.
So was that in the very beginning mm-hmm. of your story setup? Okay, so I feel like that didn't happen to me.
Okay, so did you choose to send her to a full-time healthcare?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't do that. So I decided...
No, literally, as soon as I had that option, I'm like, of course, she should be with professionals. I've yeah. done this, try to take care of a dementia person at home. You can't do that.
So basically, you ended... So I was playing Henry as this selfish person, and I feel like that... It doesn't affect in any way, as far as I know, besides a little bit extra dialogue, how your game goes. But those were just the options I made. But you're right, like the true and an important decision is to basically put her in a home or whatever. So she didn't go to live with her family then, eh, in your playthrough?
Well, and this is what was kind of weird, because they talked about like basically I put her in a home. So mm-hmm. I feel like there was some sort of like programming issue or something. Mm-hmm. Because I sent her to a long-term care facility that was in Boulder, Colorado. Mm-hmm. But then a couple of times it mentioned that she went home with her family. But then it said, go back to your wife in Boulder. And like it seemed like I must have chosen like two options somewhere along the lines of telling my story, where it was just like some options they thought would send you in the Boulder direction and some options would send you over off into the Australia direction. And since I picked some of both, it like didn't know where my wife was. It was really bizarre. Really bizarre.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that does sound, I didn't have any issues like that. I'm not saying that I've heard that there's been issues with the game, but I didn't run into any things like that. And I felt like, once you got into the game and started experiencing the mechanics that they were putting in front of you, like the talking through the radio back and forth, I think it added more to what is the gameplay of a walking simulator. But, you know, in the sense of Gone Home is just walk around and investigate things. In this one, I felt like you were actually doing more. You were doing more. You were navigating a map. You were using your compass. You were finding caches that really just progressed the story in other different directions. And I feel like it was a positive in that. Like, do you at least agree with that point? And then it kind of built upon what Gone Home and Everybody's Gone to the Rapture has done.
I think so. I felt like there was more puzzle solving, like trying to mm-hmm. put the pieces together in Gone Home. I didn't play Everyone's Gone to the Rapture after hearing basically your thoughts on it. Even though you enjoyed it, I was just like, that sounds boring.
It's boring, but it was entertaining for me at least.
Yeah. So yeah, I feel like there was more, like I didn't figure out what was happening in Gone Home until the very end. Mm. This one I found very simplistic in the storytelling. So it was, to me, very straightforward about what was happening. And also, it seemed like the ending was very much, and again, like, I didn't actually play this myself, so I might have had a couple different conversation options or something, but it seems like the ending is basically like, do you end up with Radio Lady or do you not end up with Radio Lady? And I was just like, I don't care. I don't want to be with Radio Lady. And that was another thing I noticed, too. Some of my conversation options and some of the things that I chose, I was thinking, oh, this is just a friendly conversation. And all of a sudden I'd get all like weird and flirty. And I'm just like, this is dumb because this is not how I like it. Felt like it came out of nowhere in a lot of ways because we had a very like sarcastic, bantery kind of first third of the game. And then all of a sudden it was like, we're in a relationship now. Like, I was like, what?
Yeah, there was one point where I think it was maybe halfway through the game where you just wake up and there's this conversation between you and Delilah where it does come off as a little flirty. But then I think that really is just the developers, you know, setting up Henry to be this terrible person. He really isn't that great a person, and Delilah is a drunk, and she was drinking, and that's a theme that is established throughout the game. And I think it was just those mixes that caused that relationship stuff to sort of pop out of nowhere. And I don't know. It's just maybe I'm more forgiving of the story, and maybe it's not a great story. I thought it was not an excellent story, and that it's a story you want to go home and tell to everybody. So
Ryan says it's not an excellent story, which means, guys, it was actually pretty crappy because Ryan doesn't ever say anything's bad, like, ever.
Well, here's what I'm trying to get at, is that a story doesn't have to be, how do I put this? A story doesn't have to be amazing, oh my god, Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers, Gandalf's the best, right? It's just got to work for the characters, and in this game it works for the characters in that you have these two characters that are stuck alone for the entire summer, they're paranoid, they're lonely, and then weird shit starts happening around them. They find a fenced off area. They start thinking it's government conspiracy or someone's trying to kill them. And really, it's just a matter of coincidence and this one dude who is running away from the death of his son. You know, he, rather than being blamed or having to go through the process of a funeral and grieving, he just leaves the body and walks away and becomes a hermit. And he uses the paranoia that these two Firewatch Tower people have to kind of keep him from being caught, you know? And I'm pretty sure, like, that research area, the fence area, they don't explain why it's there. It is just a government research thing that they probably just weren't told about because they didn't need to know about it. They were, like they said, they were researching horned toads or whatever. And it just so happens that Goodwin found it and used it to his ability. He snuck in there, planted some reports and stuff. And I thought that was a really different way of ending the story. Rather than doing the whole, they exposed the government experience, you know? That's what happened. And at the end of the day, it's like, well, shit, I should have brought a friend because that was probably, I was just a little too paranoid, you know? And that's what I took from it, and that's why I enjoyed it, because it wasn't a Hollywood ending. Like, I don't know, did you want, like, black choppers to come in and people come down in spy uniforms and say, ah, you found us. No. Here's a grade A spell. What? Where are we?
I don't know. And again, like, since I didn't actually play through it, there was a couple of things that, I don't know, I felt like they could have done more with like the isolation and the girls going missing, and I don't know, I felt like it was a little bit flat for me.
But that's the thing, is like life is oftentimes flat,
I don't want life though. But that's the thing, video game
is that this is an experience. This is not your typical Mass Effect shooty, oh you're dead and I saved the life of everybody. Like, this is a different experience. I sound like a fucking hippie, but it is just, it's a different...
You just have to have the experience, yeah, man. Like, just let it happen.
Just take your $20 and eat it, and you, oh man, just... But, I mean, truthfully and honestly, like, that is what Firewatch is. It's not, I mean, this is why these are so hard to qualify as video games, and why they keep trying to hammer in these, like, layers of, you know, like, unlocking cash boxes and finding things to listen to dialogue about. Like, That's the layers. Okay,
and like, what was up with those notes? Do you ever figure out who Ron and Dave are?
Man, I had a feeling that they were having like a weird bromance or something. I honestly think they were like the past two fire watches that were just conversing via letter for some reason. I don't know. It's just I honestly do think that the game is about life, and life is never not always this exciting. Oh my God, they went missing. Who's the killer? It's like, no, they just went a town over, got drunk, and stole a tractor. You know, and that's what happened in the game. You know, there is a piece of dialogue where they say like, oh yeah, remember those two campers? We found them. They got arrested in Iowa for running a tractor into a convenience store. And I think that's the exact line. And it's very throwaway. You're right. And I mean, you're right. Like, could they have done more? They could have easily taken these two missing campers and be like, okay, let's create some more drama. Let's have another boombox. Let's let them throw it in the water.
I never ever found the crazy rampaging grizzly bear.
As far as I know, there isn't a grizzly bear, right?
Which there should be.
Do they hibernate year round? I know you can find a raccoon. I know you see a deer halfway through, and that's the other. You're right. You're completely right. And that they could have done more. And I wanted them to do more, because when I finished the game, I was kind of like, I loved the art style. I loved the music. I loved the setting. I liked the characters. I liked the story. Why isn't there more?
Was there ever any reason to have the camera?
It's cool. Like I said, it's a hippie. It's very hippie's the wrong word. What am I looking for? It's kind of like, what is it? You know, the square glasses of people. What
hipsters?
There it is. It's a very hipster type experience where it's like, man, just Firewatch. What is it? It's just cool. You got to play it. You got to take pictures. And there's often times where it's like, maybe you should take a picture for evidence. And I'm like, all right, I'll take a picture for evidence. So I'm like taking pictures of like the torn up tent and the government building with the reports, and then the dead body you find. And then I find out that actually through this website called firewatch.camera, you can order all your prints that you took, and they'll send them to you in a 1980s style like matte Polaroid finish, and you can order them. So like, great, half of mine are scenery, half of mine are a dead body.
There's a dead body picture,
just a dead body picture, and a torn tent. And I mean, really, like, that's what you want to do when you go to like a 24-hour photo mat, is they find, oh, this is lovely land, oh gosh, call the police. This man has a dead body. And Jim in the chat room is saying this is one of those times where Ryan does nothing to convince all of us that the game is actually good. And you know what? Like, there are going to be people that check this game out and they're going to like it. And then there are going to be people who check it out and completely and utterly agree with Jocelyn and disagree with me. And that's fine, because I'm not here to convince you guys to play it. I'm here to just tell you how I experience this game. And at the end of the day, in which we can move on to the next topic, is that I enjoyed my $20 investment. Sounds like you did not.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and again, and we can talk about that in our topic of the week, but is there anything else that you wanted to talk about that you've been playing this week? Because I pretty much have just been playing my normal Blizzard titles. So Overwatch, WoW, Hearthstone, Heroes.
I don't know.
I'm starting to like Heroes.
You're starting to like Heroes? Yeah, well, I mean,
it's because of who I play with, I think.
But. Yeah, oh, gosh, yeah. It's a multiplayer game. Of course, like, if you play a multiplayer game by yourself, like, it's not going to click as well as playing it with people that you know and love. And wine. I saw the wine list. Someone had waffles? Like, this was ladies' night. Like, was that...
We had ladies' night last night playing Heroes. And so... four of us, myself, Jules, Nevermore, and Barber, all drink things when we die. Like, we just die.
It's a drinking game.
Take a shot. It's kind of a drinking game, but, well, you're not allowed to call it that on Twitch. It's just, we have a beverage, because that's when the action stops and we can pick up our glasses. So, last night, I was drinking the Frisky Beaver.
Nice.
And, anyways, Jen, who also plays with us, she is actually 8.5 months pregnant. Nice. So she can't actually drink, obviously. So she just was eating waffles.
Waffles are pretty great. I wish I could play all video games while eating waffles. Contrary to popular belief, there was no Frisky Beavers or waffles in Firewatch.
There were not. It might have been better had there been Frisky Beavers.
Yeah, yeah. But man, that voice acting, though, top notch. I'm going to stop talking about Firewatch. I enjoyed it. But no, I also played a bit of Dying Light, The Following, which is the new expansion for that game. And as I've said on Zombies Ate My Podcast, now that I've put another couple hours into it, it has the same issues that Dying Light had, and that there are these frustrating moments where you just get cornered by a bunch of zombies. And you ever play Dead Island, where the combat was like, it was melee combat, and you were basically doing, like, just swinging your sword back and forth?
I definitely know that I have it. I'm just trying to remember how far I got into it.
Yeah, the combat is similar to that, if not a bit more advanced. And there was a couple moments today where I was just kept getting caught in the same place. And every time you die, it basically says, like, dude, all the work you did, you basically get experience points. You build them up as you're surviving. And then when you rest, those survivor points are applied to you leveling up. So every time I got cornered in the same freaking spot, I'd die and then I'd lose all the points that I had. It's sort of like a dark Souls type thing.
Oh.
So that's not very fun. And I kept getting frustrated. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. But the one thing that they've added to the experience of Dying Light that is fantastic is that you now get a car. And instead of the map being based in cities, it's based in sort of the countryside. So having this buggy, you can basically drive around, hit zombies, and just ram everything. And it feels so satisfying. Until you get caught in, like, a stupid geometry wall, and then the zombies overwhelm you and you die. Hence, back to the same issue I had before. So, if you have Dying Light, it's more of that plus a buggy. And you can upgrade your buggy, too. So, if you're a big fan of Herbie the Love Bug and killing zombies, you should probably check out Dying Light The Following. Because, I don't know. Justin Long is not in it. So, that's unfortunate.
Oh, I was going to say, so that's good?
I don't know. It depends if you're a big fan of Justin Long or the Herbie the Love Bug reboot. But yeah, I don't know. If you enjoy Dying Light, this is more of that plus a car. So it's fun for the little bit I've played of it so far.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So I want to remind everybody that you can go to bit.ly/amoobstore to get so much cool Amoob stuff. We've got coffee mugs, pint glasses, wine glasses, everything, all over at bit.ly/amoobstore. You can get your favorite shows, including TGI, ITN, and Angry Chicken. TAC. There we go. Mm-hmm. I was like, there's another acronym, and they all have T's in them, and they're just throwing me right off. But yeah, whatever your favorite Amoob show is, you can get it on Glassware. So our topic of the week this week is actually Steam refunds. We've been obviously talking a lot about Firewatch. We've been playing Firewatch. Mm-hmm. And what happened was there was someone who posted on the Steam forums essentially saying, I played Firewatch, loved the crap out of it, like not just liked it, love it, and it's only 2.5 hours, so should I get a refund, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so the reason that this post kind of, I guess, caught the attention of everyone on the internet is that the developer actually replied to the post and said, like, here's our side of why this experience costs $18-$20. Okay, before we really get into this, I feel like we have to pull Terpster into this call because he's been bugging me for half an hour now.
Is he actually trying to call in?
I just
figured he was just bugging us in Twitch chat.
Just give me one second and let me see if we can actually pull Terpster in here, because I think he might have a lot to add to this. Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe he's on my side. I could use some help, Terpster. Please help.
Yeah. All right. Let's see if I can add him to the call here.
This is... Hi, you're live on the air. Turn down your radio.
This may be a terrible idea.
That's fine. We'll figure it out. You have you're hovering over the hang-up button. he's not answering.
Now he's mad at me. He's not going to answer.
No, he's busy. Oh, he's busy now, guys. He's probably playing Firewatch because of my heartfelt review. Or he's, you know, sleeping like he probably should be. Or coffee.
Yeah, I think he's just ignoring me now.
Oh, well,
I tried, Terps. You can see.
All right.
Your picture's there. I tried.
Technically, he could probably jump in at any point now, which I probably am going to regret saying.
You've now officially like shown him how to get in, or at least reminded him that he now has access to the call.
He's fine. Yeah. The Steam refund business, it's reared its head again.
All right. So basically, the whole idea behind the Steam refund is if there is some sort of a problem with the game. So if you've got something like Batman, for instance, it was pretty much unplayable on PC. So it gives you the option to get your money back, which I think you should have. And this actually, or something like this, I guess, happened to me. Basically, I got a copy of Fallout on Steam, and I got a copy of Fallout on Xbox because I was gifted the copy on Steam, and then I had bought the copy on Xbox without realizing it happened like within a couple of hours of each other. So having the ability to refund a digital game is actually, it's awesome. Because as consumers of digital content, like, we need that sort of thing because we don't have like a still in its cellophane wrapped thing we can take back to the store. So it is important, and basically the rule on Steam is that if you have less than 2 hours of gameplay and it's within 14 days of purchase, you can return it. So that's where some of these art experience type games that may only be an hour and a half to 2 hours worth of an experience, this is where they kind of get into trouble, because it kind of leaves them open to potentially having people experience their game and then returning it for a full refund, even though they've had the experience.
Right. Yeah, it'd be like going into a movie theater, seeing a movie you didn't like, and demanding your money back, even though you watched the whole movie. Or demanding you get a refund on your Happy Meal, even though you ate the whole thing and were unhappy. Both at the time of the ask for the refund and the next day. They'll just, you know, use your imagination. So I myself have used Steam refunds on games that I have just thoroughly not enjoyed. Ark being an example of a game that we played in early access, and I just, you know, it was like, I did not have fun. I'm going to ask for a refund. And it went through fine. I think it's less than, play less than 2 hours, own the game for less than 2 weeks. And if it's broken, they can basically give you some leeway on that. So if the game is publicly, being raked over the coals for being poorly optimized, then yes, you can return it after playing for
a couple hours. So how does that actually work with like something that's a pre-order? Like if I pre-order Batman 6 months ahead of time and it's total crap and can't even run on the PC, then is that like 2 weeks from launch date?
It's 2 weeks from when you've purchased it. So if I go buy a game that's been out for 3 years and then decide I don't want to keep it after playing for an hour, I can
return. I understand. Oh, I mean, sorry. Like if you pre-order and you buy something 6 months ahead of time, like I'm not gonna know.
Oh, I see. Yeah, if, no, from like, 2 weeks of launch.
Yeah. So okay, so it is from 2 weeks of launch. Okay, that makes sense.
I think that would be how it would have to work. If it's as long as the game is in a playable state. So if you purchase an early access game, you don't have 2 weeks after it launches to get the refund. As long as the game has been flagged to be playable by the public, then that's when you get your refund. So, but in the case of this Firewatch business, like you said, it was someone who really enjoyed it, but then asked, like, I have this ability to get a refund. Do I do it? And as Jimmy in the chat room has so boldly put, if you buy a game, enjoy it, then refund it because you can, you're a douche. Because basically what you're doing is you're saying you liked something, you played through it, and even if you didn't like it and played all the way through it, I still think that you've used people's time and energy that they use to create content, and you're taking advantage of a system.
Yeah, you had the experience. And I think that you nailed it when you said, like, if I had gone to Deadpool this weekend and absolutely hated it, which I didn't, it was wonderful.
Fantastic movie.
It was so good.
Oh, so great. Let's talk about Deadpool. We need to agree on something for an episode. Although we are agreeing now, but it's not as exciting as Firewatch.
If I had gone to Deadpool and I had absolutely hated it, and then I'd gone, all right, I just paid $10 for an experience. It was an hour and a half. It should have been 2 hours, or it should have been an hour and 45 minutes, and it wasn't, so I want my money back. They're going to laugh in your face because you had the experience. like, it doesn't matter if, you know, the movie is good or bad. If you sit there and experience it, like, you have consumed whatever it is that you have paid for. So whether you like Firewatch or not really shouldn't even come into the equation. Did you play the game? Yep, you did. All right, then. Like, end of story. Like, no refund. No, this is stupid. Who even asks this question?
I mean, you gotta hand it to them. The post that they made. Oh,
I'm just rolling my eyes at entitled gamers.
I know. And the person who did post this at least worded in a way that was not, it was not like, I'm going to get a refund. This game is short, blah, blah, blah. It was actually worded in a way that was not internet speak. It was a very normal, he used punctuation. He used a lot of question marks and no exclamation points from what I can see, which is spot on internet, spot on. and the responses that he gets from people range from, yeah, of course, if you have the opportunity to, oh gosh, no, 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 to the developer actually responding and being like, look, like, we put a lot of work into this, you experienced it, at the end of the day it's up to you, but, you know, this is how developers stop making games. It's not because someone didn't enjoy the game, but because they're actually not being paid for their work.
Yeah.
Now, you played the game, you probably played less than the 2 hours, you experienced half of it, I think, is what we kind of came to the conclusion.
Yeah.
In my opinion, you really did, from my opinion and from my experience of talking to you about the game, you did not enjoy it. And I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. But if I were you, I would ask for a refund. Because
see,
you didn't enjoy
it. See, and I feel exactly the opposite of that. I feel like I took my dollars and I put them towards something.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, I didn't like it, but I've, like, this is how I've chosen to spend my money, just because I either didn't do my research or, you know, just even what exactly happened. I thought I would like it. In the end, I don't like it, so I'm just not going to play it. I've had enough of the experience to know that it's not really my thing. But, like, if I buy a dress and then I get too fat to wear that dress, I don't get to return it because I don't like it anymore.
Well, okay. But you liked the dress. You when you bought it, you enjoyed it.
Do enough research, and I thought the material was stretchy, and then in the end, it wasn't.
Well, that's a good point, and it's a weird analogy because it seems like I shouldn't touch that conversation or any sort of conversation. I don't wear dresses, so I really don't know how they work. They just sort of like
it could be any article clothing.
Oh, okay, perfect. I just thought that this was very specific. I'm glad that we've established that. I don't know. Again, it's just a matter of opinion. In this case, if you really, really enjoyed it and you asked, do I get a refund? It's like, that's kind of a dumb question. But at the end of the day, like, if we weren't covering it for this show and you played, like, how soon into the game did you realize that you were not enjoying it? Because it wasn't the 2-3 hours you played right up until we started recording.
No, it was probably, I'm trying to think.
Mm-hmm.
I probably started to not enjoy it right around the time, I guess, that you kind of, like, find the camp. Like, the destroyed camp. Oh, and again, okay. Like, I wasn't really 100% sure what the game actually was when I got it. It's just everyone was talking about it. I knew we were going to talk about it on the show. Like, I knew I should play it. But I literally thought it was, like, you have to, like, go find fires and either put them out or what, and don't let the forest burn down. Like, I thought that, like, I thought it was, like, a fire nature simulator what? Or something. I don't know.
We should have had a conversation probably before. Because that, like, to me, I knew exactly what I was getting into just based on what people had described the game being. And at that point, I knew, like, it was worth the money for me. And I really do believe that the Steam refund system isn't just there for games that are broken or don't play on your PC. I think it's there for games that you honestly give a shake. And if you don't like the way it moves, then you can return it. And
I don't agree with that at
you
all.
You don't think that what the demos are for? Like, demos are put in place to allow you to try something risk-free.
Yeah, and that's a demo. So. Mm-hmm. I don't know. No, I think if you buy a game, you're committed to that game. You've given the money to the developer. End of story. I think if it's broken, that's another. That's totally different. Like, if I buy something at the store, like Matt and I went to IKEA today, if I open an IKEA box and my bookshelf piece is broken in half, I'm going to take that back because it's broken. Mm-hmm. If I open it up and I realize I accidentally grabbed white instead of black, I'll probably take that back too because that's an honest mistake. But mm-hmm. if I open it up and it's black and I put it together and then I go, eh, you know what? I don't really like it down there in the basement. Right. Then it's like, that's my own fault. I should have thought more before I purchased.
but you've put together a product that putting it back in the box would be very tough. Like, I think when it comes to video games.
So because it's digital and doesn't have a box?
No. I think it applies. Like, entertainment is subjective. So if you have to do your research. You can't be like, I'm going to use the Steam refund system to try every game and then return them an hour later. Like, that is abusing the system. But if once in a blue moon you purchase a game and it just really does not click, you have every right to the value of your money. And like I said, it's not something that should be abused. But in once in a blue moon, if you try a product because everyone's talking about it and you want to check it out and you honestly go in thinking you're going to enjoy it and it just does not work out, you're better off just checking it back in and being done with it. I really do think that the system is there for a reason, you know. And again, it's really up to you as a person to make that call. If you don't feel comfortable doing it, then by all means, don't do it. Because it takes a lot for me. Like, it was really just Ark. That was the one game that I returned, and it was just irked me so much that I used that system, and I had no problem with it. And it's an early access title.
I look at it as, like, if I look at my Steam library, mm-hmm. I have so many things that I have spent money on and I've never played. Yeah. And so, I don't know. I feel like unless the game doesn't work, then, you know, like, I've spent that money. I own that content now. Mm-hmm. So what I choose to do with it, it's up to me because I own it. But I don't get to just give it back. Like, I don't know. It's so weird. It's just a weird concept to me, I guess.
Again, it's all a matter of what you're comfortable with. And I know people that do things that I wouldn't be comfortable with, but they feel comfortable with it. So they go off and do what they need to do. And that's fine. And that's how life works. Everybody's different. Honestly, if I have a ton of games in my library as well. And like I said, I do not think you should abuse the system. Like, if you buy something and if you buy everything and don't like it and you just return it, that's one thing. Some people in the chat room are chiming in. Tombstone agrees with you about this because, you know, if you return a game on Steam, the developers still have to pay Valve's cut of the game. So that means they lose even more money than just the price of the game. Return a game that's not broken and kill any development. And yeah, that's a good point. But I think, and again, my one example that I have of this is an early access title that was very early access. And I think I have every right to use the system that's in place. And they as Steam licensed people, know what they're getting into with these systems. So, and that sucks because Steam is probably the biggest distribution center out there for video games. So they kind of really don't have a choice. But but we're getting so far away from the original argument.
Yeah, we're very far away from the original topic, which basically is, should you be able to return something that is a short experience, even if you play through it and like it? And obviously, no. That I can't even believe this is a question that was asked. But basically, the problem with this is that there are some very short experiences that mm-hmm. are very good stories. And I think Gone Home is a great example. So you've got Gone Home, and you play through it in an hour and 45 minutes, which comes in under the 2-hour mark, and then you enjoy the experience, or you don't enjoy the experience. Either way, you've had the full experience, and then you return it. Like, that is such a deterrent for developers. Like, if I put years and my blood, sweat, tears, and dollars into creating this, you know, essentially movie, then... You know, like, I don't know. Then to find everybody's enjoying it and loving it, but I'm still not getting any dollars for it. Like, I would never make that experience again. And then so are all of our video games then going to be judged not by what the actual content is, but how many hours it takes to play through it? Like, that doesn't seem like it's good or healthy for the industry at all.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. I mean, it's almost like there needs to be another check in place for if 2 hours just really isn't, is just a good chunk of time for you to get in there and finish a lot of these games, like a lot of these experience types video games, like you mentioned, that there needs to be another thing in place, like maybe...
Even percentages might be a better way to do it. Like, if you have played through 2% of the game, then...
Yeah. You
still refund it.
And it's tough, right? Like, how do you figure that out? Because Steam achievements are just so hackable. That's a tough way to determine whether someone's actually... Because if you beat Firewatch, you have all the achievements unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
But because Steam achievements are so hackable, and you can basically use an app to unlock any achievement you want, because Valve doesn't care.
I could be like the most accomplished Steam person ever?
Yeah, unless they've changed it. But I remember a lot of people talking about it. I think maybe a couple. Basically, people stopped caring about Steam achievements because you could just open an app and set it. So it seems like there needs to be another check to make sure. Like, well, if you beat the game, then yeah, you shouldn't get a refund. Like, but if you play for a half hour and someone's agreeing, Jimmy is agreeing with me in the chat room, and Jimmy usually disagrees adamantly with me, and he says that basically is if you didn't get any value out of the game and you played for a short time and you simply did not enjoy it, then it's probably fine to use the system in place. But you did get value from Firewatch. It sounds like you at least latched onto a few things. I mean, it was a beautiful game, right? Like that art style. Come on now. Eh. Anyways, I just think this person on the internet is not the worst of the bunch, but he was sort of set right, because at the end of the day he did decide not to refund it and support the developers, but as the article quickly shows off, there are a lot of people contemplating, you know, getting their refund and playing the game just to get their refund. So yeah, I don't know. It's crazy, and it comes down to what people's opinions are and whether they're comfortable with doing that. You kind of have to check yourself before you go in and, you know...
Before you wreck yourself?
I was trying not to do that. I mean, the system's in place, right? Like, if you use it for good, not evil, right? Great power comes great responsibility. What's the other one? Maybe that's it.
I think that's probably it.
That's good.
On that note, we wanted to remind everyone that our Patreon hangout is tomorrow night, right before game night. So we're going to be starting at 7 p.m. Eastern time. That is over on twitch.tv/JossPlays. So Ryan and I will be hanging out. We'll take your questions on Skype. We'll take your questions in the chat room, whatever you want to do. And then right after that, we will be kind of rolling into our game night. So if you head on over to patreon.com/thegamersin and you are a patron, you will have access to that Skype account, as well as be able to vote on what exactly it is that you want to play. And we will be playing things on using our new Discord server. Jocelyn does words.
Yeah, that thing works so well.
I use it for everything now, except literally for recording the podcast. Like, I use it just all of the time. It's an amazing, amazing service. I love it. So there's actually rooms on our Discord service straight up for our patrons. So basically, if you are a $5 a month patron or higher, then you have access to the $5 room, because you actually get first crack at slots with us playing on game night. So if you do want to play with us tomorrow night, then make sure you get Discord all set up and make sure that you are sitting in that $5 room so that I know that you're there and I can grab you and say, hey, come play. Yay. Whatever we're playing. I'm not even actually 100% sure.
I don't know. I think someone suggested Smite or Dungeon Defenders 2. Hopefully it doesn't ruin our experience.
Every time we try to play that game, it never seems to work.
it's really a lot of fun, but man, that early access really shines through. I think they hit beta though, didn't they not hit beta?
I think they did hit beta, so cross your fingers that it actually works.
Well, let's cross your fingers, hopefully.
So we have some listener feedback for you guys this week. Coming from Webby, says, just wanted to comment on the Overwatch money issue. I personally feel that by spending real money to buy things that can be unlocked through gameplay is kind of cheating yourself. By doing it the hard way, you at least get the sense of achievement, but having the option there doesn't alienate those that want everything right out the door. Oh, probably like right off the start. And on XCOM 2, I'm loving the game, but what's your opinion of the time/turn limit debate? It's been a bit of a point of contention in the forums last week. However, the modding community have answered this issue. What do you feel it should have do you feel it should have been up to them to do so?
Right.
So kind of like, yeah, two different things here. First of all, we had a discussion basically on being able to essentially buy currency in Overwatch and, you know, having a game that is, you know, $50-$60 and then having things to buy in game on top of your already significant investment. Mm-hmm. And then so I guess I kind of do agree, like, the fact that I go in and grind versus throwing more money. I mean, obviously Blizzard wants to give us as many ways to give them money as possible. So it's obviously a business model. I guess I wish it wasn't there is kind of my point, but I guess it doesn't really take away too much from me, the fact that some people are just going to buy things and have everything right away. I don't know. Ryan, what do you think?
No, I'm right there with you. Okay, now we're agreeing. Yeah. I've always been of the person to just kind of go in and experience a game the way that the developers have set it up. And when the developers give this sort of backdoor access that costs money for people, I always ignore that. I always look at that and kind of go, ooh, gross, and just keep on and put blinders on, and I don't even look at that stuff. I think when we, in the 3 years that we played Mass Effect 3, I never once used real money to buy those chests. I kept grinding them. And I, you know, there are still characters to this day that I never actually got to experience in that game because they were locked behind a
paywall, essentially.
A paywall, yeah. So, I don't know. I'm right there with you. I don't like cheating myself. I think that's a good way of putting it. Like, mm-hmm. unlocking through money is kind of cheating yourself out of an experience.
But I feel like in Mass Effect, it was a little bit different because at least right now, like, the biggest kind of problem with loot boxes, and I have noticed this and I'm only a level 10 and mm-hmm. Tombstone in the chat room is also pointing it out, is the more you play, the less you learn, the less you earn, because you get one every time you level up and it takes more and more experience each level, as it works in all leveling games. Like, to get from level 1 to level 2 might take you 100 experience. Then to get from 2 to 3, it's 200 experience.
Yeah.
And that flies by for the first probably 5 or 6 levels. Like, I feel the first night I played, I had 3 or 4 boxes to open. And then last night, I think I unlocked one. And I'm only, because I went from level, I was like halfway through 9, and I just hit over 10. So now I'm probably going to have to play 2 or 3 nights worth to unlock the next loot box. And it's just kind of like, well, that doesn't necessarily seem fair. And is there a level cap? And all of these loot boxes are random. So what happens if I hit a level cap and then I can't earn them anymore? Like, there is, I don't know. It seems very odd.
I think they already announced there's no level cap, but I do see the problem with the fact that it takes longer and longer to level up as you start being a higher level. Mm-hmm. Are you always earning in-game currency as you play, even if you're not leveling up?
The only way that I have earned any in-game currency has been opening loot boxes and it containing currency, or opening loot boxes and it having duplicate items, because then it automatically, like, disenchants them into currency. But even then, like, I think I got a duplicate voice thing and it gave me like 5 gold in game, whatever it is.
So that's an issue, right? Because that's to me would be the way to unlock those loot boxes without leveling up, is by grinding in game currency, similar to how you do in Heroes and Hearthstone, by just playing the game, not even just
exactly
leveling up.
Like, I feel like if you get maybe a legendary commendation at the end of the game, that should be worth like 10 in-game currency. Or if you like break a personal best, that should be worth something. Like, you should get something for doing well at the game, not just grinding out the time. So I don't know. I feel like that is an issue.
Yeah,
in Overwatch. They just put player progression in. Yeah. So it could change. This may not be the final way that you're going to actually be able to do it. I think you can also straight up buy a loot box.
Right.
I think. You can't right now. They're not letting anybody put any real money into it until the game actually launches, which I think is smart, because there's lots of people who are currently in the beta testing who haven't actually purchased Overwatch. So there's a good chance that, like, I might be beta testing but never actually buy the game. And then so that creates a weird, like, well, what the hell do we do with the money you have spent on the game? Kind of an issue for Blizzard. So they're just avoiding it completely.
So is there an ability to buy anything right now in the beta, like, with your in-game, even with just your in-game currency?
Yes, in-game currency you can. Yeah.
It's so just, you can buy you stuff right now.
You can't put real money into Overwatch right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that seems like a missing layer that I'm sure the community is feverishly telling Blizzard to implement, and that we need to earn in-game currency in other ways besides leveling up. Because if you have the ability to spend in-game currency on loot boxes right now, then there's that missing
link. You can't actually buy a loot box. Okay. You can straight up buy a skin. So if there's a skin that I want, like the legendary skins are worth like 1,000 in-game currency. I think I've played probably like 10 hours of Overwatch and I have about 65 in-game currency.
So it still seems like there's that missing link that
there's
I'm sure they'll...
There's a huge like gap, I think, between
they'll address
the pricing
it.
Of their items and the way that you grind it in-game. Like, I feel like in order for me to get one legendary skin that I really want, it's probably going to take me like 150 hours, and that seems like way too big of a time commitment for something like that, which then again feels like they're pushing me towards spending real money in a game that I've already purchased for real money. Like, if I can spend real money on a loot box, or if I can spend real money to buy currency, then making it really, really hard for me to get those things by grinding then means, like, the harder it is for me to get by grinding, they're pushing me towards spending real money, and that's the thing that I really don't like.
Right. Yeah, no, I
don't mind that at all in a free-to-play title, but the fact that I've already dropped $60 on Overwatch makes me just kind of want to throw up in my mouth a little.
Yeah, it's a balance. It really just has to be... The balance has to be there in that the player who just wants to play the game that they've purchased and go about their way, that has to be 100% clear that that is fine, and that is the way the developers meant them to be. And the buying in-game currency has to really be illustrated as a shortcut, as a, you are taking a deviation from the way we want you to play this game so you can basically cut to the end. And that's the way it needs to be spelled out. And because of your reaction, and I'm not in the beta, I'm not bitter, but I'm not in the beta, so I can't really judge myself, but based on the conversation we're having, it sounds like Blizzard has not drawn that line, and that is a problem.
Well, the other thing is, too, everything that comes out of the loot boxes is 100% whatchamacallit?
Cosmetic,
thank you. So it doesn't really impact gameplay other than the fact that you get to look really cool or you don't.
Yeah, but that's the thing, that even though it's cosmetic, it's still buying in-game currency still needs to be seen as this dirty shortcut that only certain people will take. It should not be
the way to do it.
Exactly. And if Blizzard's portraying it that way, then Blizzard's got a problem.
But okay, and then so on to the second point here that Webby brings up about XCOM 2. I've watched Matt play, but I haven't actually gotten in and played a bunch yet myself. So I didn't feel like you are the XCOM expert here.
Right.
So I don't really know. I haven't heard anything about this time/turn limit debate.
Yeah, I've had a few people reach out to me on this, and to be honest, the way I play games, I sort of defer to the way the developers have set it up. I'm not a big modder, I'm not a big... you obviously already heard it in our conversation with Firewatch. I think I enjoyed Firewatch because I just let the developers tell the story they wanted to tell. And it's the same thing with XCOM 2, in that I don't necessarily mind the turn limit / time debate. There's sort of the metagame where there's this avatar project that's constantly ticking away, and you can sort of take away checks on it by completing certain missions that pop up over time.
Right.
And there are strategic missions where you have 12 turns to destroy something or extract someone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and for me, those don't bother me. I sort of just play within them. It's a strategy game, so sometimes I find myself maybe pushing myself a little further and getting caught out in the open because of the time limit. But it doesn't really bother me because I think the way the developers set it up, they kind of use that time limit a lot. But I think you'd appreciate this, Jocelyn, because it goes back to what you've said in the past with games, that there's an alien invasion, time is of the essence. You are being rushed. You don't have 30 turns to extract that guy. He's not just going to wait in the streets while there's aliens around You know, it just does, life doesn't work that way, right?
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense to me. Like, yeah. I think that's exactly how it should be. It's like an extra added layer of challenge. It's like, yeah, you probably could do this mission in 250 turns, but you need to do it in 12 because otherwise this guy's going to die. Like, I like that. I think that's great. I don't see, like, it seems like another mechanic in the game. So I guess modding people have taken that out.
They've removed sort of the avatar timer, so basically you can just play the game to your content and not rush through it. And that is a way the developers support multiple playthroughs, right? So as there's a ticker timing down, it's also a randomly generated game. So when you beat the game, you may have missed out on certain things that you'll get in a second or third playthrough. So by removing the timer, you can essentially just play forever and not worry about beating it. You can just kind of sit there and play until your heart's content. And I don't think there's a problem in removing the timer. Again, it's really up to the player. And I'm not going to do it. I'll probably just do a second or third playthrough. But
that's so essentially, the beauty of there's like some maps or some areas that you don't actually get to go to because you have to complete stuff before the avatar thing happens.
Yeah. So the way it works is basically if you don't do certain missions, like say you just go around doing the meta where it's like, every month there's these new missions that pop up to where you choose to go to a specific area and shoot things, I guess, for lack of a better term. And if you just keep doing what you're supposed to do and finally beat the game, because it's all procedurally generated and based across the world, there might be locations that you never visit or never get to experience because you never had a mission in Western Australia. You just solely focused on beating the Avatar Project in Europe or Asia. Mm-hmm. So it's just a big game, and you're not going to get to experience it all if you really just focus on beating it. Because, you know, like I said, it's an alien invasion.
Yeah, I am 100% totally fine with that.
Oh, yeah, I know.
This feels like the first game that's actually implemented something where it's like there are multiple paths that you can take, but in the end, you're trying to end an alien invasion, and all missions are kind of a way to do that. Yeah. You know, like, I like that idea. I think that's great. That really fits me as a gamer. That's very much like, you are trying to stop the invasion, so go, 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 go. And if I choose to take a path through Africa, then cool. And if I choose to go through Asia, then that's cool too. But one way or the other, I have to get to London, say, to stop the invasion. I'm pro. Yay. Love it.
And, you know, it's, you'll find, some people will find that they do not like that setup of the game, and that's why modding is there, to allow you to add Randy Savage or whatever Slim Jim guy into Fallout. You know, if you felt that they were severely lacking and slap into a Slim Jim, it's not slap into, you know what I mean? Basically, modding is there slap for that reason. Slap a Slim Jim. Let's move on.
I think we should.
Yeah.
Oh man. If you would like to, I think actually, yeah, that's actually pretty much the end of the show. I think, is there anything else that you want to say?
No, I think I pretty much summed it up with that.
Then if you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on AMove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at JossPlays. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AMoveTV. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you thought about Firewatch, please do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn. And remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.